We're going to find out all these things when we talk to our good friend Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. She is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Mary Kay, does my, what is it, the Baskin Groan reflect the city right now when it comes to what's going on with the Browns and what we're watching in there every Sunday now? How are you, Mary Kay?
Hi, Mary Kay.
Hi, I'm doing great, guys. Yeah, I think it does. And it's funny because those collective groans and sighs, we've been doing that in the media room now for a couple of weeks. Every time we have to do something, we're groaning or sighing about it because this just didn't go the way anybody planned this year. It's really surreal and hard to believe, and I feel horrible for Browns fans.
Let's get this out of the way. A betting site sent me information today. Odds on the next head coach to be fired, Kevin Stefanski was number one. Do you think Kevin's in trouble this year, Mary Kay? I personally don't.
You know, I have no idea if he is or not, but I really don't think so, just based on the fact that they just extended Andrew and Kevin. The only thing is that we really don't know what Jimmy Haslam is thinking right now. We know he's an impatient owner, and he's not happy with what's going on right now at all. I don't think that necessarily means he's going to blow the whole thing up. But you never know with Jimmy how these things will go. So I think it's kind of stay tuned, but I really don't see it happening.
All right, let's just kind of go through the timeline here. And, you know, I hate to go back to this story about a couple. You were there. I was there. I mean, you could hear it, but it wasn't. And I had my back to it because I was watching the monitor on the other side of the media because I really wanted to see a couple of the replays of what was going on. And I just the fans that were cheering when Deshaun got hurt, and the platform that the players used after the game to make sure that they knew that they won't tolerate that and that they don't like that at all.
Well, first of all, it was hard to hear the loud cheers that everybody's talking about from inside the press box. So I wasn't really all that aware that those cheers were happening while he was down. I was also really focused on watching him and trying to see
exactly
what happened.
The same thing, Mary Kay. That's like what you just said is what I've said 100 times. Like I was in the press box. I was on the other side. It was the same thing, and I didn't hear that. And then I did talk to some people afterwards. Like it was a little too loud for comfort. That was what I was told. So
yeah, and I've asked around a little bit, and people on the field said that it was definitely a thing. But what I did hear the cheering as he was being carted off. But that's customary. I mean, that happened last night when Chris Godwin was getting carted off the field in the Bucks-Ravens game. So I think there was a fair amount of cheering out of support. And sure, there was some cheering going on the part of some fans, but it wasn't even as loud as the booing when he was first introduced.
No, and I think that also kind of set the stage in the players' minds because they were all out there. We all heard it because more than to hear the booing for Deshaun, we all wanted to hear the cheers for Nick when he got introduced.
Right, yeah. So it was kind of a mixed bag of emotions the whole afternoon, and it's just unfortunate that it ended that way. I actually think, and I've been telling you guys for a long time, I actually think that there was more to Deshaun Watson this year than he was able to show because of all of the dysfunction on the offense going around him. I don't think he ever really got the chance. If you look at his last four quarters, and I know a lot of it was a dink and dunk type of situation, but in his last four quarters, he went 26 of 29 for 250 yards, and he had the Browns in position to score a touchdown on that drive that he got hurt on. And in the previous week, he had them in position to score the game-winning touchdown in Philadelphia before two false starts derailed it. And there were other examples of things that went on like that this season on what I just think is a very, very dysfunctional offense that it would have been very hard for any quarterback to succeed in.
With that in mind, Mary Kay, and there, I thought he looked competent at times this season too, and especially as of late. I think you're right about that. With that in mind, what do you make of Kevin not committing to him as the starting quarterback in the fall? And he didn't say he wasn't. He didn't say he was. Was he just being a nice guy and saying, hey, here's the situation. We're not going to deal with that. Or are they not committed to him as the starter next year if he's healthy?
I think they were in a situation where they were evaluating it as it stood before he got injured. They were probably trying to figure out, is he someone that we can win with in a big way going forward? And so in some ways, I think Kevin is right in not committing to him going forward, because then sometimes you have to eat those words. So it's probably better for him to just leave it nebulous and not really put any parameters on it right now. So I understand where he's going with that.
All right, where are we going with the quarterback situation? And if DTR is healthy, does he start? Does Jameis Winston start? Bailey Zappe, where is he in the mix on this? Because he'll have to be on the active roster.
And are you looking for more Mary Kay than just somebody to play the last 10 games?
Well, certainly with the trade deadline coming up on November 5th, you're probably going to look around for trade opportunities. Of course you would, because now you're really looking at next year and the year after and the year after that to figure out what you're going to do. And if you see something out there that you think can help you, you definitely should go grab it. You cannot wait until March or April to try to figure this whole thing out. As far as Deshaun is concerned, I don't know if he's played his last down of football for the Cleveland Browns. I've said that before about quarterbacks, and it hasn't proved to be their last down of football for the Cleveland Browns. So I think you can never say never, although it does feel over. You have to come up with contingency plans. You have to come up with another quarterback who you believe can start the season for you in 2025. As far as this year is concerned, I think that certainly they're going to want to see more of Dorian Thompson-Robinson, unless they go out and get themselves another quarterback that they want to take a look at. But they will want to see more of him. I just don't know if that more is going to start this week because he has this finger injury. I personally would not put him out there against this Ravens defense, against this Ravens team, and put him in harm's way. As Kevin, I asked Kevin about this after the game, about DTR maybe needing to play with a little bit more control, and he said there were a lot of learning/teaching moments in that game. Well, that doesn't say to me, hey, he did a great job, he injured the finger, and we're counting on him for next week. I think that they should throw Jameis Winston out there. If you run DTR out there against the Ravens, you run the risk of shattering his confidence, and they don't need that right now. They should let him start a number of games this season, but maybe not until a little bit more towards the end of the season, although that's going to be a grueling stretch in and of itself. But you have plenty of games in which to evaluate DTR this season. I don't think the next one should be against the Ravens.
Mary Kay, is it more critical to see if DTR could be your starting quarterback if you need one for next year? Or is it more critical to see if Jameis could be that guy?
Well, like I said, I think they have opportunities to see what both of them can do. And the fact that they demoted Jameis to the number three quarterback, I think, speaks to how they evaluate these guys. I think they felt that DTR had climbed up above Jameis as their next best option. So I don't know that Jameis would be somebody that they would be looking at as their starter. Quality backup, yes, but I don't think that they would be thinking of turning the reins over to him next year. I think they would want to go younger. I think they would want to go more mobile. I just don't see that as something that they would be thinking of doing.
What does it mean if the offense starts to sing now? What if the offensive line looks better going into this week? What does that tell us about the big picture?
Well, the offensive line should start to look better week after week. Now that you've got Ethan Posick back, you've got Jack Conklin got a little banged up in this past game, but he should be back out there. Jed, you know, hopefully for Jed and for the Browns, he'll continue to get a little stronger as he goes along. He's obviously still working through knocking off the rust from his surgery. Dewan Jones, who had to go in there for Jack Conklin for a bit. Again, we saw him shaking off some of the rust. And then I think all of them have suffered from the loss of Hall of Fame offensive line coach Bill Callahan. So it just hasn't been what anybody expected it to be. But they should play better in the future, considering that they're getting healthier.
Mary Kay, is this roster good enough that you don't, shouldn't, bad idea to start trading away key guys and accumulating draft choices? I personally think, especially on the defensive side of the ball, I'm not moving those guys. I'm keeping them here, and I'm going to go for it next year.
Well, you know, you look at teams like the Steelers, they don't gut the football team and start over, do they? I mean, they don't. They keep intact their core players, especially the defensive players, and they say, hey, we have to go figure something out because Kenny Pickett didn't work out for us. So what did they do? They went out and they got two starting caliber quarterbacks in Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. So that is how you do it. You go out there, agreed, and somehow, some way, you find yourself a quarterback, and you keep intact the core of your football team, the Miles Garrett, the Denzel Wards, and those guys. And then you just keep rolling along. If the Steelers can do that, the Browns should be able to do it too.
Agree completely.
But will they? That's the question. Because, you said it before, you've got an anxious owner.
Well, we'll have to see what he does or what he's thinking. I don't know yet what the thinking is there by any stretch, but that this is what they should do. They just have to find, if you can find a quarterback and at the right price point, and maybe you find that quarterback in the draft, maybe you find your Jaden Daniels, maybe you find your guy and you have him on his rookie contract and you can dig out from underneath the Deshaun Watson contract. If you can do that, then you can be back up in business in short order. You need a couple more receivers. You might need an offensive tackle. You need another edge rusher. But you can add those pieces. I don't think that they should hold a fire sale.
Mary Kay, as always, thank you for your perspective. We appreciate it. And
thank
we
you,
will
Mary
read
Kay.
You every day in the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Thanks, Mary Kay.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let's dive into some of the things she had to say because she did some interesting stuff. So we'll come right back into that. And we'll do that. You can call in at 216-474-0092. The part about Deshaun I thought was interesting in there, but I also think the future, the way you look at it, was interesting too.
I agree with you. I think it's really interesting. There's a lot to unpack here in the last 10 games, I think, especially before the trade deadline. You know, I think the quarterback thought is interesting, Andy. I think the thought about do you gut the roster and try and get draft picks? I agree with her completely. You don't do that.
It bothers me to think that you would want to trade Denzel Ward or you'd want to trade Miles Garrett just don't get players like that.
Nope.
It's hard to get those kind of players. And I do understand the notion of maybe it isn't better for you to win down the road because of the way the draft's set up. I understand that. I totally get it. But you know what? If they do their job right, they should be able to draft players with the natural picks that they have right now. They've got a first-rounder this year. They've got a second-rounder. As of right now, they have two third-rounders because they picked up the one from the Bills for Amari Cooper. Brilliant. They have a fourth-rounder. The fifth-rounder's gone because of Za'Darius Smith. They have a sixth-rounder. They ended up, I think they have two sixth-rounds coming up next year, too. So I'm looking at that. I'm looking at 2026. Everything looks right there. You know, it's just they have the picks. If the scouting department and the front office do the job the right way, they should be able to replenish through the draft in some ways. It just hasn't played out that way. So if you're thinking about letting these guys go in a fire sale, you better make sure you're getting a quality high-round draft pick if you can get them. It's too hard to rebuild. And I know people want to talk about age, but her point about the Steelers I thought was dead on and correct. All right, let's hear from you because I know a lot of you want to talk. Let's go to Stefan in Cleveland next. Hey, Stefan, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got three quick points. First, I want to say this. I just heard Mary Kay Cabot, what she said about Deshaun Watson, how things were clicking before he got injured and the game before where he was in, that we were getting ready to score, but we got stopped by two offside penalties. Deshaun Watson has the ability to be a good quarterback. It's still there. I don't think that this is the last we've seen of him in Cleveland. I honestly believe that there's a good chance that Deshaun Watson could be the Cleveland Browns starting quarterback come next year, just off of the simple fact if you don't see anybody else out there that's better, why give Deshaun Watson up? Number two,
I'd agree,
I don't necessarily think that the problem is all the way Kevin Stefanski. I honestly believe that we need a better offensive coordinator and play caller, because I do believe that Kevin Stefanski needs to give up play calling. And then my third point is, I'm all for not blowing up the whole house just simply because we have a bad season this year. I mean, let's be real about this now. It's the Cleveland Browns. You cannot go into the season thinking always that the Cleveland Browns are going to end up in the Super Bowl or we're going to be in the playoffs. Last year, nobody expected us to be in the playoffs. We just happened to make things work with Joe Flacco. I just think that there's a lot of fans that's always still heard about Baker Mayfield. That's what I honestly think. And then as far as the booing,
Do you think they're also heard about Joe Flacco too?
Oh yes, most definitely. Okay. Yeah, I do. I definitely think that they're heard about Joe Flacco. But also, when it comes down to the booing aspect of things, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but my argument is this: if it was your son out there on the field, you would feel some type of way.
Oh, I know exactly. I'd be furious, absolutely furious, and I've been there before.
Yeah, so that's just my take. You know, I think that we should keep the pieces that we need and see what we can get out of Deshaun Watson. I mean, let's be real about that. I don't believe that Jimmy Haslam was willing to give up that much money to only have Deshaun Watson play what? How many
less
games
than
has
seven
he
games in 3 seasons each year. Yeah,
exactly.
No, you're right. You're right.
Exactly.
All right, yeah, Stephen, so thank you. We appreciate your phone call. 216-474-0092. And he is so right about that if it was your kid thing. I get that. And I think that's why most people have common sense when they're standing. I mean, look, can we face it? That probably most of the folks that were cheering for him after the injury were probably, I mean, well lubricated by 9:30 in the morning. I think if you're stone cold sober, you don't do that. You're just not doing that.
Some people would. Most people wouldn't.
And the other thing is, let's not also forget there were fans. I was told yesterday a couple times that I had friends that were sitting in sections where nobody was doing that. And then I had one of my buddies text me. He goes, "Yeah, we had somebody in our section that was stood up and started to cheer, and the entire section just like they chastised him, and they said, 'What are you doing? Why are you doing that? That's not right.'" And the hard part is, you know, you get a couple knuckleheads in there that are doing that, and now all of a sudden it's a reflection of us. It's all of us. I mean, we don't want to be a part of that. We just don't. And, you know, we're sitting here 24 hours later, 48 hours later, talking about this, still about a couple knuckleheads, because we feel like that's a horrible reflection on our city, and that's not who we are. And we all know it. And we also know that time will heal this. I mean, the only time that I can really think about fans that are like, ooh, we think about that, is the line that says, well, they boo Santa Claus in Philadelphia, right?
Okay. Santa wasn't hurt.
Well, that's true. Santa wasn't. Although, never mind. Cleveland is in Cleveland. Hi, Cleveland.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, man.
Yep. I just wanted to say a few things. I looked at Joe Flacco, what he did last year, and him – and he and Jameis Winston had the same kind of history problem, and that was throwing interceptions. Is that correct?
Jameis had one really bad year with interceptions.
But that was also a really good year passing-wise, right? That was the 5,000
yards. 30-some touchdown passes, 30 interceptions.
If you're going to take the chances and get all those yards, that means that there's some risk involved, mm-hmm. and you're going to throw interceptions. It's part of life.
Yeah, and this year, aren't the quarterbacks throwing a lot of interceptions, even your good ones?
Probably not on a pace to throw 30.
Okay, well, I'm just saying they do throw them, but
yeah, and it's part of the game. Guys throw interceptions all the time.
Yeah, so I think that having Jameis Winston would be a good idea to just throw. I don't care if we get intercepted. I don't want to get rid of guys or anything. I just want to see some balls being thrown down the field, and maybe we take our chances to win a game.
Cleveland, Oh, sure. Go ahead.
And then the other thing I wanted to say was, How do you defer when guys are hurt on the field and they get up or they're taken off the field or whatever? Don't you cheer?
Yes.
To that the player got back up. So how do you know whether it was cheering for him hurt or cheering because he's getting up and
I think the bigger part of this, Cleveland, and I agree with you, and Mary Kay just brought this up too, it was the vocal fans that were cheering loudly about the fact that he wasn't going to be returning to the game. I think that's the part that the players heard. And I'll be honest, I mean, I'd be upset too if I was a player, but I just, at some point, you can't sit there and sound like you're pointing the finger at the fans for not being frustrated over the fact. Like, there's a couple lines here, and the line was crossed by anybody that opened their mouth and said something while they were standing and cheering. As I saw video of that too. Like, come on, sit down, shut up. There's no reason to cheer an injury ever. It doesn't matter whose team it is. Thank you, Cleveland. And I feel like a broken record saying this. And the problem is, I'm saying this to fans that know that. They know it. They don't need me to tell you that. They don't. We have pretty smart fans in this town, and when you get a few vocals that are now representing everybody, I think we're all embarrassed by them, and we're also, you know, like sitting here trying to defend our city again, as we always seem to be doing, Cleveland against the world. Bill in Parma. Hey, Bill.
Hey, always a great program, you guys.
Thank you.
First off, I'm always the last person that recommends this, but I would like to see the general manager and the head coach go. They've had their chance to do what they need to do. They don't build a winning culture. You find that when you saw what Detroit did with Dan Campbell in that situation, it happened instantly. It happened quickly. And there was a culture that's put in. The culture that we've seen with Stefanski and Barry is, you know, we'd be happy if we just make the playoffs. You know, we made one in one game. Isn't that great, you guys? And all this mumbo jumbo that Stefanski talks about at these, that Wait, has
we,
to go.
We made two, and Detroit went plenty of years without winning
I
seasons.
I know, but yeah. but how long did Dan Campbell?
Campbell turned it around quickly.
No, he did it quick. They got a coach.
That was my point. That was my point.
Okay, I see.
That was my point.
All right.
And that's my point. My concern is that this is going to continue. This needs to change. Do they do a poor job drafting? They do a poor job in picking coaches. This line coach they have right now, we see right now what a great coach does and what a poor coach does. This is awful when you have a mediocre to poor coach. Well, guess what? We've had a mediocre to poor coach as an offensive coordinator. And that's why we have not had anything happen. So this has to change. This thing about what happened on Sunday, I took it as a deeper than just booing him. And that, which I think was awful, if that's what you thought. I saw it as frustration with this organization. I saw it as frustration with the fact that, and I hope, this is my own opinion, I hope Watson doesn't. He's $50 million. He's not worth $50 million. And he's not worth $50 million to wait to come back. They need to move on. They need to find a new coach, a new general manager, a new system, and they need to change. Now, who would that be? It needs to be a coach that has some years on him and has in the past been a winner. And we also need a general manager that's been through it. And we don't need young guys that have done it for the first time. Because I think what we saw with Barry is they always hire a young guy like Stefanski that doesn't challenge him, that doesn't try to take over the organization and help with that.
Bill, we got to go. Sorry about that. I know a guy that did challenge him, and he's going to join us coming up a little bit later in the show. That's Greg Williams. So looking forward to talking to him. Anthony Castrovince joining us at noon. We'll continue talking about the Browns. I still want to talk about some of the things that Mary Kay had to say. 216-474-0092. That's the number to call in. Baskin and Phelps still talking about the Browns, still just like where we're at in this quarterback situation, what this team needs to look like in the future, what you want. I mean, I'm not saying you want them to tank, but do you want them to tank so they'll have a higher draft pick? Because we've got a lot of season to go. What do you want to see? Who are you hoping emerges? Do you hope that they keep the roster intact? Do you want them to blow this thing up? Do you want to? I just, there are a million different things to talk about when it comes to the Browns right now, and there aren't many good ones. That's the problem. But solutions can always be good. We're also going to talk to Anthony Castrovince coming up at noon as we dissect what we saw from the Guardians. We didn't even get a chance to really talk about them yesterday, so we'll talk some baseball coming up, the World Series coming up, and I can't wait till 1 o'clock. Greg Williams, former interim head coach of the Cleveland Browns, he'll join us. Well, he's doing Come Get Some with Greg and Blake on Big Play right now, the Williams family, with their TV show there, their podcast. So we'll talk about that coming up, too, and we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if Greg's not too far away from getting back on the sidelines or getting back with the team. So we'll talk to him about that coming up here in a little bit. Again, 216-474-0092. I mean, you've kind of said what you need to say. I need to say, what are you looking for the rest of the season then? I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
I don't necessarily think that DTR is the quarterback of the future of the team. I don't know that he's the quarterback of next year of the team. It might be Deshaun. I personally would like to see Jameis Winston play quarterback. And I like DTR. I do. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know that he's the guy. And, you know, are you looking for a quarterback for the next decade? Oh, that'd be ideal. But how about a quarterback for next year? Next 2 years? Jameis could be that guy. I think there's a better chance that Jameis could be that guy than DTR is that guy.
Hmm. All right, Jim is in Cleveland. Hey, Jim.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I know, it's sad, isn't it? Do the Browns feel like they got ripped off by their fans because some bad apples, as was mentioned, booed Deshaun Watson's injury? Well, I got news for the Browns. They've been ripping this off since they came back to the league. This sport, these players sign up for this rough sport. They get paid. They get paid very well to play this rough sport. And they also get paid to handle everything else that comes with it. If they feel ripped off by a few fans booing, boo-hoo to them, they need to grow up. And this is just a big distraction, by the way, of how bad this organization is. They use these things to distract us away from the real problems. You know what? The only good thing about the Browns right now is that they're getting a new stadium, and that's all I really have to say.
All right, Jim. Thank you. Appreciate it. I thought Rodney McLeod said something. I did get a chance to listen to some of the interview from this morning. Rodney McLeod said something, Jeff, and I thought of us immediately on this.
Oh, good.
And he talked about how the players don't have a chance to interact with the fans. And I thought to myself, I'm like, when I was a kid, there were all kinds of opportunities to interact with the players. You know, whether they were, you know, during training camp, like you see how things have changed, how things became corporate on a lot of this stuff. The guys that were heroes to us when we were young here in Northeast Ohio, they were, unless I'm just distorting this because I want to, but I always kind of felt like they were part of the community. When you would go to training camp, and training camp was here, and you had the chance to see these guys during training camp, I think there was a difference there. It gave the guys a connection to being a part of the city. I think about going to Lakeland, or I think about going to Kent when they would have training camp out there, and those guys were real life, and the only thing that separated you from them as a fan was just a thin piece of wire, right? A rope that would say, hey, can the fans please stay on this side of the line? And I always felt like those guys were a part of our community. You would hear little things here, little things there. And I thought when Rodney said that today, I thought that was kind of sad. He's like, we don't really get a chance to interact with the kid because everything's so organized and everything's so corporate. And we got to make sure we get a corporate banner up behind this. Otherwise, it's not, you know what I'm saying? Well, we were talking to Gary Barnage the other day, right? Was he on our show? I couldn't remember if that was the pregame show. And Gary was talking about, you know, doing those movie giveaways where he had the opportunity to, you know, have the fans come to. No one does that. No one does that. So when we get into situations like we see from Sunday, there's a separation between team of players that represent City of Cleveland and people here in Northeast Ohio and that wear the jerseys that say it and the people that are actually here 24/7 that are going to be here for years or want to be here and are here because they love the city. And so there's a disconnect there. And I felt bad for Rodney when he said it because I think the players that are here now, the alumni that I see and I still talk to, they are 100% just entrenched in our community. They are part of the fabric of who we are. And, you know, when you, I don't know, when you see a Dick Ambrose out on the street, you're like, hey, man, that's Bam Bam. And
hey, man, shouldn't you be sentencing someone to prison?
I think he's past that now.
Oh.
I think he's done doing that. But or if you see a Dan Fike or a Greg Pruitt or those other guys, that's why, you know, we talk about this pre-99, post-99 sometimes and why there's a disconnect. Because there are a lot of players that had success here when they played here, and they became a part of the community. And when Rodney said that they don't have the chance to interact with fans, I kind of felt sad for him because he's not really getting a chance to know us, or the players don't get a chance to know us. We just hear them in press conferences, and we go through that. All right, I'll take more phone calls. I'll get off my soapbox. Andy's in Berea. Hey, Andy, how are you?
That was beautifully said, Andy.
Thank you.
You know, yeah, you're right. There is, because I don't see Deshaun staying here. You know, when his career's up here, he's not Clevelander. You know, he's in and out. But no, but to answer the question from before with the, you know, remainder of the season, what we want to see, I just want to see, you know, now that Deshaun is not there, what is the fancy going to do? Can he repeat? Obviously, not to the same level of success as last year, but can he repeat that same type of magic with, you know, five different quarterbacks and making it to the playoffs and all that jazz? You know, I just want to see what he can produce now that maybe the square peg in the round hole that was Deshaun, you know, is not there anymore.
Fair enough. Andy, thank you.
Let me give you some numbers. You ready?
Okay, go for it.
With Deshaun Watson as the quarterback of record. In other words, I don't count the Colts game that they won after he left.
Right.
With, you know, like after what? A couple of plays or whatever it was.
Right.
In his 3 years here, the Browns in Deshaun's games have a record of 8-10. That's a winning percentage of .444. With other guys at quarterback in the last 3 years, the Browns have a record of 11-12, or a winning percentage of .478. So the Browns have actually been slightly better with other people at quarterback, for whatever that's worth. The only thing I think it's worth is that it shows that Kevin Stefanski can make things work with other people at quarterback. So let's see what happens here in the last 10 games. I'm not expecting, you know, any playoff push or anything like that. That's not happening. But don't be the least bit surprised if the offense looks better with whoever's at quarterback and they win some games.
Nate, West Salem. What's up, Nate?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So, Andy, you were asking earlier, you know, what does the rest of this season, you know, what does it look like? And to me, the rest of the season looks like shed payroll, increase picks.
Right.
And the reason why is I disagree with Mary Kay. I think we're in the need for a deep rebuild. We have, if you actually go position by position and really look at each, especially on offense, but even on defense, we have so many holes, not only on starters, but backups, that I think the only way we do this is go through a 3 or 4 year rebuild, which is actually quite fine, guys, because guess what? We're the worst team in the AFC North, and we're not catching Baltimore or Burrow down in Cincinnati or even Pittsburgh. We might as well use these 3 to 4 years to get young, get cheaper, and then build ourselves up to when those teams are starting to fade, we're ready to rock and roll. And if, you know, I don't want to trade Miles. I don't want to trade future Hall of Famers because I want them to go into the Hall wearing our colors. But I think you'd have to ask Miles if he would be up for a rebuild, because we're heading for rebuild whether we like it or not.
There's a Joe Thomas feel to that, isn't there, Nate? It feels that same way, too. I totally agree. Nate, thank you. Let me get one more in. Cool Ray in Bedford. Go ahead, Cool Ray.
Hey, what's up, fellas? First, I'm going to say I respect your show so much, it's not even funny. So, but I agree with you. But the one thing that you said with your analogy was is respect. That's what's missing nowadays is respect for the players, and we know it. Like, this is not like – and what I want to see done to this team, and I've been calling it for the rest of the season, it's time for – I know, Jeff, you love the guy. It's time for him to go. I don't want this regime.
Wait, which guy?
Stefanski.
Okay, keep going. Just making sure.
I just think he's a good coach. Corey?
I think he was a good coordinator who was given a coaching job who's completely failed this team. Now, I'm going to say this like this.
He was only a coordinator for 1 year, by the way.
I don't want this regime picking another draft pick. The caller just said it. He said rebuild. It took 20 years for them to rebuild and to build up talent. And now look, we had talent and we can't get anywhere with the talent. And now everybody's blaming one person for the loss instead of saying, well, listen, this is what's happening. I don't want another pick picked by this GM or this coach unless you get an established coach here and established GM here to make these picks, because it's not going to matter what we pick if you don't pick the right talent or if you have an offensive coordinator slash coach who feel like someone should fit his system instead of him adjusting to the talent that he has.
Corey?
This is what we're looking at.
Yep, well said, Corey. I understand what you're saying. Appreciate the perspective as well. So, all right, let's come back. I want to change gears. Like, we need a break from Browns, don't we, Jeff? You feel that?
Oh, sure. Well, right. Especially since we had a team that almost made it to the World Series.
All right, let's do that. Yeah. Let's bring in Anthony Castrovince from MLB.com. We'll talk baseball next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.